and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
Isaiah chapter 61. I want to show you the next level that God wants to take you in Christianity and show you how to go there. You can start that journey today. If you're a pastor, if you're a minister, you will see where God wants to take your ministry, your church. If you're a politician, you will see your place in the program of God for society. If you're a businessman, you will see what God wants to do with you. Open our eyes this afternoon. Change every ministry. Change the life of every individual here. Empower and equip us for the next level in ministry. Open our eyes to see beyond what we have been doing, the possibilities that are ahead of us. What is your plan and what is your will and desire for us? I give you praise, Lord. Have your way again, wonderful Holy Spirit. Breathe upon every one of us again. Isaiah chapter 6, I want to show you a few things. We just want to, a few things that will enlarge and expand us in ministry. I preached for many years and taught that the purpose of the anointing was just to heal the sick, get people saved, conduct deliverance, and all of that. So that's what I did for many years. I did that for many years. I didn't know that there were three mandates following every anointing. Whether it is anointing for government, anointing for ministry, anointing for business. Whatever you are called to do, that calling has three phases. Every anointing has three phases. Every anointing. You can live and die doing just the elementary phase of your ministry. And not know. That's part of the problem we have with governments in this part of the world. They are not able to take governance beyond the first phase. Every resource has a purpose for it. There is purpose for money. There is purpose for power. There is purpose for the anointing. There is purpose for position. If you check the Bible, for example, there's purpose for pleasure. Look at sexual pleasure. It's God that created it. Take it outside the context that He created it for, it creates destruction. Because anything that has a good purpose can be abused. And anything that is meant to create life can also create death. You know, God is God. Huh? And you see, put security there. Then what about you that is not God? You are a man. You should put it double. When He sacked Adam from the Garden of Eden, there was something important still inside that garden. A treasure in that garden called the Tree of Life. Because of that treasure, He put security. An angel with a flaming sword moving around. Any angle you want to come from another, they will cut your head. So, if you build a house, put electric barbed wire. It's good. Unless you don't have anything valuable in that house. You don't see thieves going to an uncompleted building that has nothing in it. If they go there, they are going there like rats and cockroaches to as a hideout. They're not going there to steal anything. They go where there is value. You don't kill dead people. You kill what has life. You don't steal things that have no value. If not, all the thieves will be going to those veins. So when God blesses you, part of wealth management is that you have to secure it. But that is still the lower part, because the highest form of security is peace with your neighbor. Is what? Next to that is touching the lives of the less privileged and the ones that are not as blessed as you are around you. The ones that should be the thief, give them job. The ones that should be the armed robbers, affect their life, get them saved. We stay in our rooms and build barbed wires and build, you know, all these security doors and all that to lock ourselves away from the people we should be reaching. Let's live by a higher standard. Let's live by higher values. Because where you live, like your own family, you can't convince them with ordinary mouth to home. You know what I'm talking about. If that's where you want to go, the first thing you want to go is with the Bible to go and harass people. But the Christianity you say you have, the love of Jesus you have, they have not seen it. You don't come in to talk to the governor, he will be doing like this. He sits down and listens to what you're saying. Christianity is more than talk. It doesn't matter where you are. The thing is to set your heart on the right stuff. Church is not something you set up to collect money from people. It's something that is set up to affect and better society. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you know, in the East, where we turn everything into business, NGOs are business, everything is business, church too, is something God created as the answer to the problems of society. The most important institution in any city is the church. The problem now is that churches are not living up to their calling and their mandates. The purpose of power is for the administration of justice. That's why God gave power. If God ever gives power to any individual, he makes you more powerful than other people. The reason he put that power on you is because of those people you are more powerful than, to protect them with it, to help them obtain justice. And this issue about justice applies to many areas. Some, it is the enemy that is robbing them of their right. See, like what we did in the study, you break off Satan's hand and help the people gain back the freedom that God gave them. You see, what I did in the study is what the governor should be doing with the power God gave him. In this whole state, he should make sure that nobody is oppressed. Nobody is denied their right. That dividends of democracy is shared out with everybody. Now, you use spiritual power to also make sure that nobody is denied what Jesus Christ died for. The things he went to the cross and paid and died for, you make sure that nobody is denied that. Jesus looked at a woman that was bent over like this in Luke chapter 13. He said, ought not this woman. Is it not supposed? Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 13 years old, or whatever, 18 years, be loose on the Sabbath day? Is she supposed to suffer one more day? She shouldn't. That's why this power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, was given to me, to set the oppressed free. That's why political power is given. We get this resource, but we don't know why. We think that they are given so we can intimidate people, so we can line up siren and be passing and be pushing cars into the gutter. No. Because every leader is also a follower. And every follower is designed to be a leader. The issue is that you are not meant to lead everywhere. You are meant to lead in a particular area and follow in other areas. So when we talk about leadership, the people think that everybody has to be a governor or president. No, you don't need to be to affect your society. I'm affecting this nation more than many of these people carrying political offices. You don't need to be. You need to find your own area of calling, area of gifting, and area of passion, and start distinguishing yourself there. Just because you are a governor. Don't you see, when you enter football pitch, you sit down and watch. You are a spectator. It's Okocha, Kalonwanko that are the people in action. In this arena, they are the politicians. Then you see referees and coaches and all that, they are making the decisions. Isaiah chapter 61, I want to show you something. The three phases of the anointing, or the three phases of any form of leadership, any form of power, any form of ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. If you read that verse 1 and verse 2, you will see the seven things, purpose of the anointing. The seven purpose of the anointing. And you can summarize it in one word. Justice administration. That's the purpose of power. All power is given so you can administer justice. You know why God gave Moses the power he gave him? He could divide the Red Sea. He could call darkness in, you know, over a land of Egypt. It's so that he can bring justice to those people that were oppressed in Egypt and give them freedom. Power is given so you can actually free the oppressed and bring back to them the benefits that have been denied them. You need power to deal with the oppressor. You need power to deal with evil. If you walk in the street and see a policeman harassing an innocent man, you see an Okada man that did nothing, or an innocent man that is just passing, like what they did in Lagos early this year or ending of last year, in order to impress the IG. I don't know who they were trying to impress. They will go to Ikeja and get to bus stop and say they are arresting girls. They see some girls on trial, so they arrest them. They see some waiting for bus, they arrest them and pack them and say they are prostitutes. No, there is nothing they don't, all kinds of things they don't do here. And you come and see that. You see innocent people being oppressed. The problem is, you can't do anything about it without power. If you try to do something about it without empowerment, you become another victim. Whenever you see oppression and you notice that in your heart there is anger and passion to do something about it, the first thing you need is to seek empowerment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That might be one thing that will send you into politics. If you keep noticing that there is something about you, that you hate injustice, that you hate oppression, you have a calling in leadership. If you see things happening to people, it doesn't bother you. Don't bother about leadership. You will go and use people. You go and abuse people. This is how you know that you actually have a calling and a mantle. That there is something about your future and governance and leadership. Whether it's spiritual leadership or political leadership or all that. You have something to do with governance and leadership. Because something about you cries for justice. Not just for yourself. I'm not just talking about justice for yourself. Because every oppressed man cries for justice for himself. I'm not talking about you. It's something that makes you want to take up other people's problem, other people's trouble. If you see people begging, if you see people hungry, if you see people not having the means, and it bothers you, it disturbs you, you want to do something. Whether you have money or not, you have a mandate on your life to be wealthy. Everybody is not called to be a businessman. Business is a calling. Anybody can go into the shop and buy and sell, but there are people called into that area. Government is a calling. It's a calling to public service. It's a ministry. Can't you read? If you check Romans chapter 13, it said, the powers that be are ordained by God, and they are ministers of God for your good. So when you talk about ministries, like it's a ministry of works, ministry of education, they are correct. The presidency is also a ministry. The office of the governor is also one of the ministries. Of course, all the other ministries are the extensions of his arm. Romans chapter 13 said, these are ministries and they require callings to go into them. You know, in Nigeria, people now go because they think it's a lucrative business so they can loot the state. No. It's when there is a calling, you know that there's something in you that yearn to help rebuild society, to help live the standard of life, to help bring justice to the oppressed. It might be that in this Imo state, you find that there is one local government, no dividend of democracy has reached these people. And it's a burden to you. The politicians just share the thing around their areas. Charity begins at home, but it doesn't end at home. Of course, when you win an election, we expect you to bring one or two good things to your own people. If you don't, when you retire, you will have to come home and face them. There's nothing wrong with that. When Jesus came here, he came with power to provide freedom from every attack of the enemy. But he first of all went to the Jewish people. The Bible said he went to his own people first. There's nothing wrong with that. But then he announced the Great Commission, that commission is to the utmost part of the earth. So you might want to go to the local government and do a few things for them in your particular town, do that. But if that is the only place you invest and develop, you have failed. You say, they didn't vote for me in the other side. Who told you? Even if there were only 3 people that voted for you there, only 15 people that voted, will you now punish them because of the ones that didn't vote? And who told you that you are supposed to distribute this thing based on who voted and who didn't vote? You are called to serve the whole society. You are called to be the pastor of the whole state, of the whole local government. Whenever God refers to kings, political leaders in the Bible, he calls them shepherds. Because the pastor pastors the church, the king pastors the society. The parents pastor the family. The first church actually is the home, not the church. That's what we talk about, social transformation. The 3 basic institutions for changing any society is the family, the church, and the educational institutions, the schools. You get them right, you can change Nigeria, even if the politicians are misbehaving. Because once you touch these 3 areas, you create those that will replace the bad politicians. Whatever you do in the school, in the home, and in the church appears in society in about 10 to 15 years. It becomes a running thing in the society. If we get you trained right now, in about 10, 15 years, Nigeria will have a new set of leaders. So you can see that the failure started at home, in the church, and in the schools. And each time we want to get it right, that's where we go. Then after that, you can now talk about the political institution, the economic institution, the media, and the rest, entertainment and all that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, the word because, for these reasons. And he listed 7 types of oppression and said that's what he was anointed to go and address. The churches in this part of the world don't seem to have any understanding that God raised the church. Among the 12 purposes for raising the church is to be the judge of the earth. God raised us to make sure that righteousness and justice is established in the land. That's why if you check the Old Testament, you notice that it's always the prophet. When somebody took Naboth's vineyard, Ahab, it's the prophet that will come to make sure that justice is done. When the kings that are supposed to administer justice go out of the way, the church, the prophetic voices rises as the conscience to pull society back to. The church in Nigeria seems to be losing her moral power, her moral influence. We're talking about every other thing. We want to prosper, jump up, husband, all those kind of things. And we're leaving the weightier matters of the Lord, the major aspect of our purpose. That's why society is decaying. And we don't have many ministers whose understanding has risen to that level to be able to address such issues. If they get around government, the only thing is probably sing praises of the governor, collect envelope and go. The highest you do is pray for him. You know what I've found out? When I get into the corridors of power, I hold these men, I awaken their conscience so much and challenge them so much to their responsibility. You know, in many cases, 90% of the time, they thank me for it. This one told me, I wish I had pastors. He came to meet me when I was finishing my administration. I wish all the men of God have been coming here had been able. I wouldn't have failed. Do you think I wanted to fail? Do you think I wanted to leave and have a bad name? People calling me bad names. I was following what I saw. Because one thing about oppression is that anytime people are under oppression, they cry. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes to be cheated, to be denied his right. And then when the oppressor is taken away and they are brought into power, they repeat the same thing.
Many times they are worse than the people who oppress them.
Check African nations.
And how we fought. Look at Mugabe, who fought against the whites. Look at him now. Those whites would have been better for Zimbabwe. Look at what he's doing with that nation. He has got the power, but he has become a dictator. And he might end up dying a disgraceful death. That's killed a lot of people. When you see people suffering, you think that they will be better if you empower them. When you see a man begging in the road, poor, you think if he becomes wealthy that he will have compassion. You are joking. Some of you who are so stingy, go and see the family where you came from, the kind of suffering you came out from. God has blessed you. You're supposed to be a generous person, a large-hearted person. See who you have turned into. You think suffering alone produces goodness in people. You know what happened? The reason they end up worse is that they don't have any other model of leadership except that one that oppressed them. That's what happened to African leaders. The way the white man was brutal, you know, during the colonial era. It's not this one that are telling us democracy, all those kind of things. They were not using democracy here. So when they got power, before they even got independence, if he just becomes a policeman, a court clerk or whatever, he will go to his village and be terrorizing people with it. In South Africa, the black police, the apartheid police, because after a while, they now came out with an ideology that you need to hire some of the blacks and empower them. They are the most brutal. It is better for you that a white man caught you than that a fellow black man who was suffering with you, just that they just gave you one rank. If you see what he will be doing to his brothers. Because the moment he gets power, the problem now is, how am I supposed to use it? The only model is the oppressor. So he becomes worse. He will try to outperform the original Pharaoh. He ends up becoming a worse type of Pharaoh to his people. God knew that. So he knew that he had to do two things to Moses. If he was to if the man was going to actually give freedom to the children of Israel, first thing he did was he made sure he did not suffer oppression, because oppression leaves people damaged. He leaves them damaged mentally. He leaves them with insecurity, with all that. So when they get power, they are afraid of letting other people rise. You see pastors, a young pastor under, laid hands on the sick, and the sick recovered. People are excited about it. That is it. Wahala has started though. He will throw javelin on you like Saul, till he finally destroys that young man. He will find anything. I went to Jos. This pastor laid hands on a woman that was paralyzed. And of course, she was not healed. So as the lady was leaving, there was a young pastor that was growing up. They were training in that place. He was coming and saw that woman and had compassion. And he stretched his hand and the anointing of God hit the lady. And she got up and said, and the people started screaming, and you know, the pastor summoned him. He said, you want to take my ministry? You want to destroy this church? He said, no, sir, I'm trying to help you grow this place. Check the record. I'm the highest soul winner that you have here. And it's when I started winning, so God started using me in this way. I'm trying to help the world grow. He said, didn't you hear that I've laid hands on that woman? Why did you go and lay hands on her again? Didn't you know that you came there to disgrace me? He said, look at, Jesus said, the works I do, greater works shall you do. He is such a leader that wants the next generation to be greater than him. The purpose of power is so that you can lift other people into power. Power is given to you so you can empower people with it. You can go to the areas where it's lacking and release more of it. The less of it you find in people, the more of it you should transfer there. God doesn't mind you fighting the strong, but he will fight you when you fight the weak. If he empowers you, if he anoints you, be careful about the weak, the oppressed, the less privileged, the voiceless. Nothing destroys men of God. Nothing destroys a leader like it. The Bible said, if you find a king that gives justice to the poor, his throne will be established forever. It's not the fellow politician that is the issue. It's what you do with these market women, with these ones. You want to knock down houses, you go to the poor area and start knocking down houses of the poor people that it took them years of suffering to build. Some pastor think the anointing is for cursing people. He didn't see cancer to curse. He didn't see demons to curse. He didn't see evil to curse. It's the people that are suffering that he was given the power to deliver as a Moses. When you go and check that man, you will see he came through all kinds of oppression himself. Because hurting people hurt people. That's why before you start asking for power, ask God to heal you on the inside. Set you free from rejection. Set you free from insecurity. Set you free from competition. Set you free from trying to. Because when you are short, when you are, if you feel that you're, the way you perceive yourself, you think you're a dwarf. You think the way to be tall is by making everybody bend. You may not be very tall outside, but become a giant on the inside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nobody can make you feel inferior without your permission. It's you that feel the same way. Say, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. You see that kind of complex, grasshopper complex. They make very bad leaders. So, first thing God did, he said, I won't let Moses go through this damaged mentality, damaged psyche, damaged self-esteem, damaged emotion, damaged. Because if he will make a terrible, he will make an oppressor when he brings the people out. When he brings them, he will turn them. He will enslave them again. They use people. That's what they do, such leaders. So he said, as a baby, take him out from this oppression. Move him into freedom. Let him test freedom. So that they will put a passion to give it to everybody. He will now know these are his brothers. This is what they should be having. What they are facing is not what I planned for them. If God has healed you, he healed you so you can help extend healing to others. You may have gone through abortion, gone through abuse. You know why he brought you out of it? So you can be the voice now that go and help other young girls, other whatever. You may have been into different things. There's a young man who had HIV, but he told himself when he finished making money, he will not go and preach. He went into business. And then, of course, for one thing, girls, and then ended up there. When he got HIV, he became very sober. And then he said to God, please, I'm ready to now serve you. He was saying it because he knew that he didn't have much years to live. If it's 10 years or 5 years that is still ahead, let him now use it and help people. And he was doing it. And he met me one day. He said, I don't know if I have up to 10 years or 5 years, but whatever it is, I want you to lay hands on me. Let the anointing of God come upon me. I want to help as many people. And I want to prevent as much people from getting this thing. Because I know. And I laid hands on him. For God to anoint him. You know what God did? He destroyed the virus. He destroyed the virus. He said he went home. That this fire was inside his body for 3 days. He refused to stop. He said, is this how the thing is? Then he now took time to pray. He said, and the Holy Spirit said, go for check. Go for another check. He went there, the whole thing had died. And he brought me 7 different tests that he had done before when he was going through all this. I said, so what are you going to do with it now? You see, that fire is for you now to start helping people. You know what people who have this thing go through. Don't say, I can't tell people, oh. Because if I tell people I used to have it, maybe the girl I want to marry might not want to marry me. No. Be bold about it. Do you know that those who have the thing full-blown without cure still get pretty ladies to marry, wives to marry? Do you know? How much more you? The purpose of power is to administer justice. Is to set the oppressed free. I think I need to hit that one a little further so that it will enter. If you don't have passion for justice, stay away from the anointing. Stay away from political power. Don't try to have too much money. It might send you to hell. The rich man that went to hell because a poor man was at the gate.
with sores. The dog from his house was licking that man's sores. Flies were all over him. The reason he was given that wealth is so that he can change the life of such a poor man. What does it take? Ordinary, get him a job. Make him your gate man now. And put him on a salary. Okay, give him food. Treat his sore. Send him. He had provision without purpose. He didn't know the purpose of the provision. He had means without end. Money is a means. It's not the end. There is a reason. That's why a lot of people don't have it, because they are praying for it. See, they don't even know what it is. They want to acquire an ammunition they don't know how to use. And he was thrown into hell, even though he was a seed of Abraham. And in hell, he was now crying for a drop of water. The same thing, a lot of people that are given political power will end up in hell. Why? They did not, they abuse a major resource. Do you know what you can do with power? Do you know how powerful a local government is? We're not saying that you go into government, when you finish, you come out begging. No. If poverty is not good for the citizen, it's not good for the governor. Amen. We're not saying you're going to come out, but deliver service to the people. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I will say, I gave you the Holy Spirit. That is the same thing I used to change the whole nation of Israel in 3 years. I gave it to you and gave you life for 40 years. What did you do with it? I'll tell the Lord, you remember that girl in whose family everybody goes deaf? Remember her? He said yes. I said, you see, she can hear now. I went about doing good. Charity, social impact, plus healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see the purpose of power. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. Then he went about administering dividends of democracy. Now it's not democracy, it's the dividends of the government of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it's representative of the government of God. Once God anoints you, you start representing him. You become an extension of his hand to humanity. You become an extension of his government to humanity. That's why Jesus said, if I cast out devil by the finger of God, then the kingdom, the government of God has come to you. What it means that the benefits that the government of God brings has reached you. They were accusing him that he was using the power of Beelzebub to cast out devil. He said, no. If demons cast demons out, then we don't need to be here. We'll leave them to finish themselves. But you know that they are not doing it. Stop thinking that the devil is casting himself out, because he doesn't. He doesn't. He said if he does, his kingdom will have been destroyed since. Try and leave darkness in your room. Don't bring light. And believe that darkness will one day cast itself. Or another darkness. Or you go and get more darkness and expect that it will drive that darkness away. They don't. They network. Demons network. He said, when you cast out a devil, you go and look for seven others worse than him to bring a network. They network to reinforce themselves. They don't drive themselves away. And then he said to them, if I cast out devil by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast him? After all, can't you see Peter that he's already healing the sick? What about James? What about John? If you think it's initiation, ask them which place they took. Are they not your own children? What he's saying is that if that thing is from God, you will not be the only one he's working for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It won't be a secret, something. It's only Pastor David when he shows up. Then thirdly, now said, but if I cast him by the Spirit of God, then the government of God and his benefits have reached him. You see, everywhere that power comes is to deal with the oppressor and the oppression. To deal with the oppressor, Satan, and to deal with the oppression, all of his works. If he's a Moses, it's to stop Pharaoh and release the people that are under his oppression. David demonstrated it when one oppressor came after the little sheep he was looking after. In the name of a bear, he took the bear and tore it into pieces. God doesn't mind you fighting the strong, but protect the weak. If you are truly strong, it will be known in how you treat the weakest member of the society. God will not allow another Pharaoh to rule this country. Power. is given to administer justice. Put one finger in that Isaiah 61 while I show you Psalm 82, and I will. If you're a pastor, you want to live long in ministry, understand why you are given that calling and the anointing that goes with it. Be a lifter, a promoter of men and destinies. You know, whenever I sit with our pastors and our people, I tell them something, they look at me, they think I'm joking. I tell them, I'm not really a very important person because I have one small job. One very small job I do in the body of Christ. But God has explained to me how important that job is. It's very important to him. I'm one small component in the whole equipment. And my own job is making other people's destinies work. God told me, he said, when you come before me, you're not going to be assessed on the activities of your ministry. You're going to be assessed on how many people you empowered into ministry, into different areas. So my mandate is raising kings and priests. I help Pastor David fulfill his destiny. I help every young man here who has a calling, every pastor here reach his destiny. Then if I help you reach your destiny, I'll fulfill my own assignment. You know, a stabilizer is not such an important, but it's a very important. A transformer is not the fridge. Might not be the gen, but it has a small job it does that affects the whole thing. That's what my job is. My greatest joy is seeing other people's destinies work. If you raise men, if you know the effect, apart from the legacy you are leaving for the kingdom of God, if you know the effect, you make up your mind to be Pharaoh in the church. Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh inside church. Oppressor. You threaten people. You use fear to rule God's people instead of serving and helping them reach their destiny. You are the one that will lose. Because one day God will set his people free. For you, he will. If he has to kill you, he will do it. He will. God, Bible says, because he loveth righteousness, that's justice, and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee. You see, the degree of power that come upon your life is is proportional to the degree of passion you have for justice. Passion you have to free men from oppression. Psalm 82. This is what kills leaders. This is when gods die like men. You will find out, you know, I'm sure you have read this scripture for years. You are gods, or you are children of the Most High. I want to explain to you what it means now. Once a man is anointed or empowered, God refers to him as a god. Because what it means is that you are put in a position where you can affect other people's life for good or for bad. When you see a man in government that has political power, you know he can destroy lives. It's only God that is supposed to have that power. If you actually look at the people he was addressing, he was addressing judges of the earth, political leaders. But it's also the same thing with spiritual leaders. You can destroy life. You can also make life. He said the man that is in authority has a sword. And he doesn't bear that sword in vain. A man that is anointed also has a sword, not a physical one. He can destroy, he can make with that. Saw what Elisha did? Little children were mocking him. Thou bald-headed. He just spoke. Bears came from the bush and destroyed those children. So when God anoints you and empowers you, he makes you an extension of his hand, of his government. Now, he will now judge you on how you use that resource. Power is a resource. It's more important than money. The anointing is far, far, far more valuable than money. Political power is far, far, far more important than money. Economic power is very important too. Intellectual power
is far more valuable than money. Many people don't know that. They think wisdom is cheap. Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he judged among the gods. Now, the second God, the first God is capital letter, that's the Almighty God. The second gods is plural, small g, is you. He calls them mighty. He calls them gods. Small g. He said, look at his problem. How long will you judge unjustly? How long will you keep showing partiality to the wicked? That is, accept the person of the wicked. What they want, you give them. But the poor, the oppressed, the needy, the voiceless, they are the ones you know how to torture and oppress. Watch verse 3. Defend the poor, the fatherless. If I were to talk to your governor directly, this is the scripture I'll be reading for him. He obeys it. He will build an eternal posterity. And he will finish here and will be received back in the presence of God with honors. If he serves Christ at all at the same time. Defend the poor, the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in ignorance. That's what it means, darkness. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundation of the earth are out of shape or out of course. That's why Nigeria is the way it is. The people that are given the power to administer justice don't know how to use that resource, what it is meant for. And they are using it to afflict the same people that are giving it to protect. You use it to protect the poor, the needy, and you use it to fight the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. Therefore, whole course of the earth, the foundation of the earth is out of course. Read verse 6 with me. 1, 2, go. Ye, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are what? Children of the Most. You are a child of God. Say amen. Amen. How many of you are sure of yourself that you are a child? The Bible says you are gods. You are the extension of God to your fellow human being. You are gods. Stop waiting for. Who are you waiting to open the blind eyes to help the deaf person? Defend the oppressed. Set them free from the enemy. The second purpose of power is to now take those same people that came out of oppression, that you were the one using rod to set free before, and move them up and into leadership. Turn them into oak trees. Turn them in this part of the country. The word I will use to give you an idea of what God was talking about is Iroko trees. Turn the slaves into Iroko trees. Turn them into mahogany trees. Turn these people that came for deliverance. You just use the anointing to heal them. Like you see yesterday, we prayed, people getting healed. That is not the program of God. That's not where they are to end. Many of them, they go to God for healing and after that they leave. No. They miss the main event, the main issue. Many of them are supposed to be more anointed than me. Some of them are supposed to become governors. Some of them are supposed to become... There is a second process to now move them into leadership. For many years I preach. I thought once I preach, people give their life to Christ, heal the sick, cast out the devil, my job is done. And what I notice is that after some weeks, the people you have healed before, they come back for another healing. People that you deliver before, they come back after some months. I said, Lord, what kind of nonsense is this? He said, because your ministry only ended at the deliverance phase. The elementary phase. You are not doing anything beyond that. Check ministries in this part of the world. It's deliverance, deliverance phase. Healing, deliverance, prosperity. All of them are in this phase. Today you pray for them, they get a breakthrough, buy a car. Tomorrow they are broke again. Because just because one morning God threw manna down from heaven doesn't mean you are a wealthy person. Most of this miracle provision, doesn't actually create lasting wealth. It's manna. And because of the way, sudden way God gave it to you, does he know anything about savings? Does he know about investment? Does he know about wealth creation? Next time you see him, 6 months, 1 year after. Because manna is what you give slaves. Miracles. Miracles. God didn't plan for you to live by miracles. Mm-mm. The promised land, they don't pour manna for anybody. It's where you find a means of creating, where you turn ideas into money, where you turn skill into money, where you have to have something that God has blessed you with, a knowledge, a skill, a product, a service, a form of value you have developed that you exchange for whatever legal tender they use in your nation. Because wealth is not cash. Wealth is value. Anything you have that other people need. Anything you have that is important to other human beings. And then you start exchanging it. You start marketing that value. You package it and market it. And get money in exchange. It could be goods. It could be services. It could be ideas. It could be intellectual properties. It could be ministry. As long as it's solving problem, it will be bringing money. Money is the reward for solving problems. It's the reward for services rendered. You have nothing that you are offering. But there's nobody who has nothing to offer. If you think you have nothing, go and acquire some skill. Go and learn something. Study the problems in your environment. Find what they need. Find the one that you can create the solution for. Package it. Start marketing it. That value, multiplied by the number of people you are servicing, decide how wealthy you become. Whatever that resource is, including this spiritual resource called power, as you use power to meet people's needs, it creates wealth for you in return. That's what Jesus means. He said, as you go, heal the sick, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. But he now said, the laborer is worthy of his wages. Whether it's political power, whether it's any kind of resource that you deploy to solve problems, you can see that even the free things that God created, like water, people are making millions out of it. Sand. Did he consult you when he was making sand? But you go and collect it. You say you want to build a building. You see how much they sell a trip of sand. Stone. Did God consult you when he was making it? People are making money from it. The only thing that does not create money, that does not pull money, is what is useless. So even the talents you have, the ability to make people laugh, the musical talent, if you sharpen it, if you develop it, is money that you are carrying about, is wealth that you are carrying about. Empower them. So, and you see, the second tool you use at the second phase of ministry is the tools of wisdom, the tools of knowledge, the tools of training. You see, so you don't move beyond the deliverance phase of Christianity until you have value for knowledge, until you have value for freedom, for wisdom. Until you have value for training, formal or informal, whether through mentorship, whether through education, whether through discipleship, whether it's through leadership, you have to get empowerment to go to your next level. And as a minister, I checked our churches to see, because we're supposed to be producing people who will be ruling the world, who will be changing the destiny of nations. And I checked the kind of curriculum we have, leadership programs, training program. I saw that most churches don't have any plan for developing leaders. They just have plan to bring people out of Egypt. And after that, that is it. They keep them in church and imprison them as members for year in, year out. No program. That's why
we began to lay emphasis on leadership development. Because that's the essence of the second phase. Until you do it, your ministry, your government, your whatever, will not go very far. The second purpose of any government that God raises is to invest in human capital development. It's to invest everything. It's even more important than those activities at the first phase. It is when we start developing the people, we start reducing most of those things that were afflicting them in the first place. This man suffered from stroke, for example. You see other people, they suffer from stroke. Everybody that suffers from stroke thinks it's a misery. Some, it's lifestyle. Actually, lifestyle creates 70% of the sicknesses than any attack, spiritual or whatever. Lifestyle. What we eat. How we are living our life. How we are managing this, our body. That means you can teach people ministry, theology, but what about teaching people to build a successful business? What about teaching people governance? What does a governor? What kind of equipment? What about giving him the equipment he needs to become the best administrator of a state? What do you give to a man that is into entertainment? What do you give to a man that is into some of this other secular field? The training was a narrow down, but every believer is a king and a priest. You have a double mandate. And you need training for both. And then the last phase of ministry, verse 4. It's all in that Isaiah 61. And I read Isaiah 61 for many years. I didn't see it. When I read it, I only see those first seven things that the anointing do. And that is the deliverance phase. The last phase is called the deployment phase. The first phase, deliverance phase. Second phase, developmental phase. Third phase is deployment phase. First phase, input phase. Second phase, process phase. Third phase, output phase. The people that are trained, this is how they end up. What do they end up? Verse 4. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair waste cities. So who is going to repair Owerri? Who is going to repair Nigeria? Who is going to clean up this city? Who is going to turn this city into an ultra-modern city? Who is going to develop Nigeria? Oak trees that we have developed from the church. Not people still looking for deliverance. The verse 4 is talking about social transformation, national transformation, community transformation, city transformation. He's saying that those who have been delivered first, saved first, healed first, who have been trained and equipped are the ones that will go and repair society. They will rebuild the ancient desolation. They will rebuild families where nobody has been able to build houses, where things have not been progressing. They will rebuild organizations. They will rebuild institutions. They will rebuild businesses. They are the ones. They are the ones. So it's the church that should produce people who will restore society. One of the mandates of Jesus to the church is to disciple nations, and is by first producing mature believers, strong and established, influential, wealthy, wise, educated, skilled and trained. And they will go and bring back order, justice and order and beauty in the society. They go to any organization where they're working, they help put things back in shape. See what one Joseph did to the nation of Egypt. Transformed their economy. See what one Daniel did to the administration of Babylon. People talk about the hanging walls of Babylon. You know, wonders of the world. The pyramids of Egypt. That was Joseph and his brothers. Hanging walls of Babylon. Daniel and his friends. Nebuchadnezzar found them to be the greatest asset he had throughout Israel. Those that haven't developed in the kingdom. The map goes this way. So it's a choice that you have to. at Drivan's face. Drivan's face, which is here. It's multitude. D face. D E face. Multitude. You see them in stadium yesterday. Plenty. At development phase. They reduce a number. Because many people have time for knowledge to sit down to be trained. You see, reducing. There are three levels. This is level one, primary stage of Christianity, secondary stage, and tertiary stage. At the secondary stage, come and get trained. Come and get equipped. They don't have time for that. They want somebody who will pray for them. They want somebody who will heal them. Come and get equipped. Come and move from a person that is delivered to a deliverer. I don't have time. You are a Moses. Come and learn how to use the rod. I don't have time. I don't have time to come and sit down in one place. Somebody will. But when is crusade? Breakthrough. I have time for that. Come and receive. I have time. Come and learn how to distribute. I don't have time for that. So the thing narrows down. Many are called, but few are selected. So if it narrows down. It's not God that is dropping some of his people by their own choice. Then when it finally gets to manifestation stage, leadership, those who will be deliverers, those who deployment phase, those who will become leaders, world changers, those who would actually transform them, it reduces. That's the third phase. A few finally come out. Not that they failed. Not that anything. It's just that their choice, by their own choice, they prefer the life of Esau. To a well-organized, intentional lifestyle of Jacob. They want to die hunters, eating manna, when God wanted them to be distributors of wealth, agents of freedom, deliverers of society and nations and communities. They that be of thee shall repair the old waste places. They shall rebuild the desolations of former generation. It is not only by prayer and talk. There is empowerment required to produce the men that will do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And for nations like Nigeria, if you read verse 5, it said, then foreigners will start coming to help you rebuild your nation. Strangers shall come and feed your flock. Until we first take responsibility for our national development, we will not attract help from outside. Anybody who is waiting for somebody to dash in money and all that is still operating at level 1. That's the level of manna. It's when you rebuild your place, put the house in order, put it in order, you start attracting foreign wealth, foreign investment, foreign help, and all kinds of things. That's what happens. When we put our house in order as a church, when you put your house in order as a businessman, when you reorganize the house, then you will see that there are resources that have been outside you. Because God won't give you things beyond your capacity to manage. God doesn't just give you what you ask. He gives you what you can handle. You have to develop capacity to lead, capacity to manage, capacity for wealth creation, capacity to grow beyond where you are. Training is the key.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.